This week, we'll discuss the two tragedies at Fort Hood with Don Hale, AFGE's Defense Council Chair, Jeff Zuelke, the President of the AFGE Law Enforcement Committee and Chair of DEFCON's Police and Security Working Group, and Dr. Michelle Washington, a doctor at the Department of Veterans Affairs and who has a master's and PhD in mental and behavioral health and an AFGE activist. Then Don Hale will come back and discuss the critical issues facing the Department of Defense. But first, Don, let's talk about Fort Hood. Tell me a little about what happened out there.
Well, you know, it's an unfortunate event that somehow, I guess, as a society, we need to figure out. Obviously, I don't know all of the specifics out there. I think that they keep most of the specifics in-house. But I know my heart goes out to the families that were affected.
And this is not the first time at Fort Hood, is it?
It's not. This is the second incident. And again, I think from my position, Ward, I think it's important that we have a national discussion. A national discussion as far as Department of Defense goes on what we can do to better protect the employees at individual installations. I mean, this is the second incident at Fort Hood. We had the Washington, D.C. Navy Yard incident. We have to do things better.
And from your perspective, have you been reaching out to the folks at Fort Hood? We've got obviously a strong local down there. You've been working with them for a lot of years. Are they concerned, obviously?
Well, you know, I think there's a concern at all DOD installations. You know, we're caught in a quandary where a lot of places, I mean, Fort Hood allows visitors on the post, as does where I work at West Point. So we're, as a society, again, we're in a quandary. How do we allow visitors to go in and see the historical significance of some of these installations and yet maintain proper security? It's a hard balance point, and we'll never find the answer unless we can have an adult discussion about it. And to be perfectly honest with you, the most disappointing thing is that we can't have that conversation. I know as the DEFCON chair, I've had a lot of concerns about installation security over the years, especially after the first Fort Hood shooting, where I even reached out to the Secretary of the Army about my concerns. And the response I got from Secretary McHugh was that these type of security issues at installations are installation decisions, and there is an assumed risk, and they're willing to assume that risk. Well, as long as they're willing to assume that risk, then employees, whether civilian employees, military employees, or contractor employees, will always be in harm's way.
And you know, most folks, I think, out there assume that everybody at a military installation is uniformed military. The civilian employees don't have the same benefits that the uniformed personnel have that are in harm's way on a regular basis. The, you know, the 20-year retirement, that sort of stuff. Do you think if DOD is going to take that position, that maybe they need to start looking at some of the benefits for civilian employees?
Well, I can certainly tell you this, that one of the biggest travesties within Department of Defense is how they actually pay civilian security guards, which is the first line of defense. I mean, they don't make a lot of money, and yet we give them a weapon or a couple weapons, and we put the safety of thousands of people on their backs. So I certainly think that security guards and civilian police officers are underpaid. But the amount of pay that they receive or an increase in benefits doesn't overcome that assumed the risk that I was talking about. You know, we have to tighten up the requirements that we have within the department of allowing visitors on these installations. And then, because these last three incidents, two at Fort Hood and one at the Navy Yard, weren't done by outsiders. They were done by insiders. And that's even more difficult to try to get your arms around.
And let's talk about that for a second. When you're talking about insiders, I mean, we know with folks coming back from war zones that you've got traumatic brain injury situations, you've got PTSD, depression, all kinds of situations. And we've certainly made great strides on all of those things. But obviously, we've got a long way to go. I mean, there's still sort of a stigma attached to some of that. When you're coming back, if you were to self-report and say all of that, I mean, what happens to your career, things like that? How are we? Do we need to do even more than we have been doing?
I think that we do. You know, personally, I know returning soldiers, returning Marines that are undergoing some very severe problems, and it just appears that there isn't the right amount of help out there. Unless there's somebody that's experiencing the extremes, but the normal person that comes back that may have, I'm not a doctor, so I apologize. I'm going to call it low-level PTSD, if there's such a thing. They're sort of, you know, not given the expert help that I think they need, and I certainly think that they need. And then there is the fact that a soldier or even a civilian employee who comes back from a war zone is experiencing some mental disorders. It's identified, and yet that individual is still allowed to be part of that workforce. There's something there that just doesn't add up. But I think that that's something that the services have to get their hands around, along with Congress, in tighten up some of the requirements and provide the help that you know these returning veterans need.
Do you feel that the Department of Defense has done enough to prepare civilian employees for these active shooter situations?
That's a very good question. It's a very good question. And to be honest with you, I don't think that we're very well prepared at all. Now, most installations, especially service installations, Army, Air Force, Marines, Navy, do have anti-terrorism drills as part of a DoD requirement. From my observations of these drills, they really impact first responders, which is in a lot of cases just a small portion of the civilian workforce, in more military oriented. So, for instance, when we have our anti-terrorism drill here, it only involves a handful of civilians. So that whole experience on what to do with a particular incident goes left unnoticed or unseen by the majority of civilians. And that's true at most of these service installations. It's not like you're going to stop a whole civilian SAD and arsenal, a production plant, or something like that, that they're going to stop that to practice what to do with an active shooter. Now, personally, I think that it should be done. I think that there should be more involvement. And you know, I believe as a result of that involvement that some of these incidents may have less of an impact, less victims, or maybe even stopped prior to it beginning.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at insidegovernmentradio.com. I'm your host, Ward Morrow, and up next, we'll discuss security at Defense Department installations after the Fort Hood tragedies with Jeff Zuehlke, president of the AFGE Law Enforcement Committee and chair of DEFCON's Police and Security Working Group.